It's not easy. Okay. We've been doing a series here called Because He Lives. Pastor Jeff started us out with it here a few weeks ago. And we talked about in weeks past, because He lives, we have hope. And because He lives, we have peace. Amen. And because He lives, we have joy. So the last few weeks, we've spent some time looking at that. Today, it's because He lives, I have purpose. Okay, and as we just saw by the amazing demonstrations in the videos, donkey riding is not easy. I don't know how many of you have tried it, but it's not easy. Mike and I did ride a couple mules once. Years ago, it was over 30 years ago in the Grand Canyon, but they were very well-trained mules. They were not donkeys, and they were sure-footed. So we didn't have a bad experience like we just saw here demonstrated. But donkey riding is not easy, okay? And that is mostly due to their stubborn nature. Donkeys have a stubborn nature. You've heard the saying, as stubborn as a mule? Right? As stubborn as a mule? Well, although donkeys are not mules, they do possess a very similar nature. They, too, are stubborn. They have a stubborn disposition. That is, they are not easily persuaded beyond their will. And yet, Jesus chose this lowly animal for His inauguration. So donkey riding is not easy. Jesus didn't let that stop Him. Amen? So if you would open your Bibles this morning to Luke 19, 28 through 38. And we're going to be reading the triumphant entry. I'll read that in its entirety here. Luke 19, we'll start that off in verse 28. I'm still hearing flipping of pages. Okay. And He went ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass when He drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olive that He sent two of His disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went their way and found it just as He had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as He went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as He was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." What an inauguration, right? Humble, very humble. Not the usual inauguration. Usually there was a very high-stepping horse that was chosen. A large horse that was all decorated and with decorations, and it was a big festive inauguration. But Jesus, in His humility, did not choose a high-stepping horse. His inauguration was the humble and unbroken donkey, really a little horse with big ears, right? And this donkey colt had never been ridden. It was not broken. Now, I don't know how many of you here have broken horses. Probably Jim Weston has broken a few horses. Maybe Joyce Sampson. Maybe Faye Klein. There's a few of you out here I know that, like, I love horses too. When I got my last horse that I had, he was green broke. So you could put a saddle on him. You could mount him. You could ride him. He just needed finished. Okay, but you've seen a lot of television shows. Maybe some of you have been to the rodeo, where even putting a saddle on one of these animals is a big deal. Okay, this little horse with big ears had never been broke. And this is the one that Jesus chose for his inauguration. Okay, Matthew's version tells us that this was a fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. And he quoted from Zechariah 9:9 that says, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So this was taken from Zechariah 9:9, where it was prophesied that the coming king would be coming in such a manner, lowly and sitting on a donkey, the foal of a donkey. A mere donkey was chosen for the Lord's inauguration. The scriptures tell us that they were untying the donkey, that they had to untie him. Why? Because the Lord has need of them. And if anyone asked, they were told in advance what to say. You know, sometimes the Lord will tell us what to say in advance. And in this case, he told them what to say in advance. If they ask you, why are you untying the donkey? You tell him, the Lord has need of him. And they didn't question it. That's what happened, because the Lord has need of him. And so they let the donkey go. And the donkey was brought to Jesus. They sat Jesus on him. They put their colts, their jackets down. They recognized that this was a king's inauguration. And that there was no running. There was no bucking. There was no mockery. None of that, because they saw this as a humble sight, a heavenly sight before them. They recognized this as a king's inauguration, so they spread their clothes down on the road before him to honor him, and they waved palm branches like we did this morning, and they said, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." How honored that donkey must have felt. Yes? You think? Yes. I think. To be carrying the King of Kings, how honored he must have been. And he did not buck, he did not falter. This donkey, this unbroken donkey, who has never ridden before, submitted to its rider. No bucking, no sinking his heels in, no becoming stubborn, which would have been its nature to be, but it yielded. Not under Jesus' physical weight, okay? He didn't have physical weight like the gentleman we saw in the video this morning. It wasn't his physical weight that the donkey yielded to. It was his heavenly weight. His heavenly weight. It was the anointing. He was the anointed one. The anointing has weight, yes? It gets heavy. And that donkey recognized there is a king riding me, not just any king, but the King of Kings. And he yielded to his maker, his creator, the King of Kings. Now, the scripture tells us that we too are a type of a donkey. Now, don't leave here and say, "Kathy said, Kathy was calling us names this Sunday morning," okay? But the book of Job, for example, in chapter 11, verse 12, says that man is born as a wild donkey colt. a wild donkey colt. In fact, the King James Version uses another word instead of donkey, if you know what I mean. But that name has a different meaning in today's society. So we'll say wild donkey colt, okay? But that's how we are born, as a wild donkey colt. We have that fleshly nature, yes? We're born with that human nature that Romans tells us about it. The book of Romans tells us that we have this human nature within us, this fleshly nature that wants to war against our spiritual nature, yes? Even after we're born again and we've asked Jesus to be the Lord and King of our life, yet there is a battle that goes on between these natures within us, and we need to yield continually to the Lord and to the spiritual, because the flesh wants to rule, and the flesh likes to buck, and the flesh likes to run, and the flesh likes to dig in its heels and say, I'm not budging. And it's that stubborn nature that the Lord wants to break. Amen? You know, we are made up of three parts. We're spirit, soul, and body. And it's the spirit that wants to follow God. And our soul is also made up of, comprised of three parts, our spirit, soul, and emotions. And that's where the battle happens. But as we yield to the spirit, and as we yield to the reign of Jesus, we can carry his presence. Amen. But we are a type of a donkey. There are other verses too. I'm not going to go to them this morning, but you may want to take note of them. Jeremiah 2:24 and Hosea 8:9 both refer to mankind as being a wild donkey. A wild donkey. And it's like, in those references, it's looking at a wild donkey in its season, gets one thing on its mind, and that's it, and runs after that one thing. And us, likewise, we get one thing on our mind, and sometimes we're caught up in idolatry. We're caught up in our own will, in our own way, trying to go after that one thing, and it's hard to break. Amen? But by the Spirit, and by the anointing, this can be broken. And yet, despite our fleshly human nature, God has need of us. Despite the nature of these donkeys, he uses them. Amen? And he can use us as well. Okay, so the Lord has need of you. Look to the person sitting next to you and say, the Lord has need of you. And now say, if God can use a donkey, he can use me. And now say, because he lives, I have purpose. Amen. So this wasn't the first time in Scripture that the Lord used a donkey, was it? Do you remember? There was another. The one that stands out to me was in the Old Testament in Numbers 22. It was when the prophet Balaam, and we're not going to turn there today, but I'm going to tell you the story, but it is in Numbers 22, if you want to read it later. There was the prophet Balaam, who was later in the New Testament labeled as false. He was labeled as a false prophet, a false teacher. But in the Old Testament, the prophet Balaam, he was going about his ministry, right? His ministry. And when the king of the Moabs, they heard about him because he had a reputation. He had a reputation that what he blessed was blessed, and what he cursed was cursed. And so the king of the Moabs, the Moabites, he sought him out because he wanted to hire Balaam to come and to curse the Israelites. Because he had this reputation. because he recognized the power in the tongue and that he could bless and that he cursed. Did you know that there's power in your tongue? Did you know that you have the power to bless and to curse? That's why we need to watch our confessions. We need to watch our tongues. We need to watch what we say. On the other hand, God has given us an authority to declare, right? To declare blessings. He's given us an authority to speak out and declare his will in our circumstances, declare his will over our circumstances, declare his will over your family, declare his word and his will in your life, declare his word over your church, and declare his word over your community. Use it to declare blessings and to take authority over the enemy. Balaam moved in this kind of thing in the Old Testament. So number one, the Moab king, King Balak, sent high officials to call on Balaam to hire him to declare prophetic curses over Israel. They offered him a good sum of money, and the Lord met with Balaam, and he told him, do not go, and do not curse the Israelites, for they are blessed. So, in Balaam's defense, he said, no, I'm not going. The Lord said not to go. I'm not going to go. They're blessed. I'm not going to curse them. But when that didn't work, the king, this King Balak, he tried then appealing to the prophet's pride by sending even more high-ranking officials to him with the promise of great honor. How many know when the enemy can't get you one way, he tries another? You know, he watches you to know what are your weaknesses. And when money didn't work initially, well, we'll add some pride to it. You know, we'll add a little more, and we'll see if you'll sell out. Love of money, pride, etc. He watches us to see what are our weaknesses and tempts us in those areas. So this time, the Lord told Balaam, he said, you can go. But he warned him, do not only speak what I give you to speak. And he added that the Israelites are blessed. So Balaam saddled up his donkey, okay, and he started on his way. And the scriptures tell us that this greatly displeased the Lord. Greatly displeased him. You might say, well, why? Why did it greatly displease him? He told him he could go. Yes, but the Lord knows all things, and he knows the motives of our heart, and he could see into Balaam's heart, and he knew that Balaam had intended to yield to the bribery. So he was greatly displeased. So the Lord sent his angel to stand in the way against Balaam. Only guess what? Balaam was too blind to see it. His donkey, on the other hand, saw the angel. The angel had a sword drawn in hand, and the donkey saw it and then avoided the angel. So Balaam begins beating his donkey, okay? So the donkey, now how many saw the old show years ago, black and white, Mr. Ed? Anybody remember Mr. Ed, the talking horse? Well, here we have the first talking horse. It was biblical. It did happen. It could be termed as a miracle, because how many know donkeys do not normally speak, okay? But this donkey begins to speak, and he begins to tell him, you know, what's going on. And he begins to plead with him, you know, why are you striking me? And you know, I've been your faithful donkey for years, you know. But to sum it all up and to paraphrase a bit, the donkey says, stop that, right? Stop that. And yet, Balaam proceeded to beat this poor donkey and beat him and beat him. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes And he saw the angel standing in the way with his sword drawn. And the angel told Balaam that the donkey saw him and had turned aside to avoid him, and that if it hadn't been for the donkey, he would have been dead by now. So, what can we learn? A donkey can be more discerning than someone blinded by vain ambition and pride. And then the test continued. For Balaam was allowed to continue, but was warned again to only speak what the Lord gave him to speak. And I'll sum up the story like this. Balaam goes his way, and to his credit, he did only prophesy what the Lord gave him to prophesy. However, because he was greedy for gain, he ended up drawing on his prophetic knowledge, the things he knew by the Spirit of God. He knew the Israelites' weaknesses, and he disclosed them to the enemy so that they could be used against God's people and cause them to fall. As a result, the New Testament calls him false. He didn't speak a false prophecy. Some of you say, oh, well, if there's a false prophecy, it's a false prophet. Listen, if you make a mistake speaking something, that doesn't make you a false prophet, okay? That makes it an inaccurate prophecy. What made him false was his character. He had a poor character. He had an evil character that was caught up in vain ambition, was caught up in pride, and was caught up in the love of money, and that caused him to sell out and to trade God's people and to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Therefore, he is labeled always false because of that. Balaam, he had bad motive and was blinded by his ambition and greed and his need for fame. But his donkey, on the other hand, was yielded. A humble donkey. Look to your neighbor and say, if God can use a donkey, he can use you. And because he lives, you have purpose. Amen. The donkey, the Lord sent, the day of his inauguration, Jesus sent his disciples to find the donkey and to bring him because he had need of him. So too, Jesus is saying today, I have need of you. I have need of you. Though you may have been born as a stubborn donkey colt, he says, I have need of you. You know, there was probably hundreds of thousands of donkeys that he could have went and chosen for that particular task that day of carrying his presence through the town. But he chose that particular donkey for that particular task on that particular day. And likewise, we all have destinies, don't we? We all have purpose. We all have unique tasks and divine destinies awaiting us. We all have places to go, roads that will be laid out before us, and missions to go on. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I